Mary's song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple, the Issues, Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
If it's good science, you don't have to talk about a consensus. Nobody ever talks about the consensus surrounding Newton's law of gravity.
The praise team is like a two-headed monster. It doesn't know whether it is an accompanist to help the congregation sing its praise or whether it's a performer to perform on behalf of the congregation.
The problem with the ordination of women to the episcopate is that bishops ordain priests. I mean, you walk into a church on Sunday morning, there's a man standing at the altar. Do you have to walk to the front of the church and go, excuse me, Father, who ordained you?
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues, Etc.
One of the things that you could kind of sadly count on when it came to the seeker-driven movement, seeker-driven pastors and congregations in American evangelicalism, is that they really didn't want much to do with the church's history. History started when the church was planted, that particular congregation. They certainly didn't want much to do with the church's, well, what Carl Schalk calls the great tradition. That is the tradition that transcends nationality, ethnicity, time, all of those other things. They didn't want much to do with that, and they didn't want much to do with anything that smacked of kind of a historic liturgy or worship forms of the church. So how is it now that we have the likes of megachurch pastor Louis Giglio and megachurch pastor Perry Noble pushing for Advent and for the celebration of Christmas in their church, saying that's the one service you got to do traditionally? How has this happened? Are they rediscovering Advent and Christmas and the church here and things liturgical? This is what I really want to know. We got to answer this question. Are they really promoting Advent and Christmas or something they're just calling Advent and Christmas? Welcome back to Issues, Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Chris Roseborough joins us for This Week in Pop American Christianity. We'll talk about Louis Giglio, a megachurch pastor in Atlanta, pushing Advent, another megachurch pastor in South Carolina, Perry Noble, pushing Christmas. Then we're going to play Issues, Etc., soundbite of the week, 4 soundbites that we play for you. And you listen, and then you call, you email, you send us a tweet, or you go to our Facebook fan page and you vote, and your vote decides which will be Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. Feel free to give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us that email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, the tweet @issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for This Week in Pop American Christianity, Chris Roseborough. He's a regular guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
What's up with this? You could almost count on the fact that the seeker-driven movement, its pastors, its congregations, really wanted nothing to do with the church's history, tradition, much less its liturgy or its liturgical year. What's going on with Louis Giglio and Perry Noble pushing Advent and Christmas?
Well, the idea here is that seeker-driven leaders never make these types of moves without some kind of marketing research or surveys that they've conducted that show that there's a desire in the market for such things. So, you know, in order to be just kind of crassly blunt about it, these men are saying these things because they have market research that says that there's a trend within the greater evangelical culture that's pushing for and asking for these things. These guys never lead the market. They always follow it. So there's something in their data that's saying, this is missing, we want this back, and therefore they're responding to that within the market.
So this is simply a response to something that they've sensed that people are asking for. This is not someone saying, say in the case of Louis Giglio, you know, we've been wrong to forget the church year, and let's start again this year with the Advent and return to the church's penitential season and its focus on Christ and his coming. That's not what we're talking about. It's not a theological move.
No. That's not what drives. Theology is never in the driver's seat in the seeker-driven movement. Always marketing, always what is going to have the greatest impact or attract the largest crowd. And so these guys are the masters of conducting marketing surveys and sociological surveys and talking, you know, and getting data from people in order to kind of stick their finger into the wind to see which way the winds are blowing, and then, you know, start heading in that direction and convince others to follow them as they are following the latest marketing trends.
The first we're going to hear from is Louis Giglio. Who is he, and what should we be listening for when we hear from him in just a moment on Advent?
Louis Giglio is a major guy, major figure within the seeker-driven movement. He's very close friends with Andy Stanley, and he has his own youth conference that he holds in January of every year that's very well attended. It's out there in Atlanta at the dome they have there for their football team. And this is a guy who he had a little bit of press in the media not too long ago. He was initially invited to do the prayer at Obama's inauguration, but ended up bowing out due to the conflict over his views regarding homosexuality, if you remember that. This is who we're talking about.
So what should we be listening for when he tries to introduce his congregation to the idea of Advent?
Listen very carefully, and this is a promotional for his new book on Advent. Listen very carefully to how he's defining Advent and what its purpose is. And listen to see if he talks about anything to do with repentance or if he's redefining the term to kind of fit a different theme altogether.
Even in the silence, when it seems like God isn't even there, he's always working beneath the surface, orchestrating his plans and his purposes for our lives. From our viewpoint, it may look like nothing is happening at all. Or worse, it may look like God has abandoned you completely. I remember being in the hospital one Christmas. My dad was suffering from a brain virus and complications that resulted in a serious disability. And so we loaded up all the wrapped packages, and we celebrated Christmas in the last place you want to be on that day. And I'll never forget walking down the hall to my dad's room and seeing all the other families there. People waiting on a diagnosis, waiting on a doctor, waiting on a report, waiting on a breakthrough, waiting on a cure. Just like you and me in this moment right now. People waiting on a restoration, waiting for a relationship to mend, waiting on somebody, waiting on a financial breakthrough or a job. Somebody may be waiting on a baby. And that's what Advent is all about. The word Advent means expectation. And so this season leading up to Christmas, it builds in us that hope that God is going to come through. Because Christmas isn't about the rush and the crush. Christmas is about a promise fulfilled. I believe waiting here for you can not only help you recover the joy and the hope of Christmas. I believe that these daily readings and scriptures and hymns and prayers can help you find encouragement in whatever it is that you're waiting for right now. And that's the hope of Christmas. Because at Christmas we see that God is faithful and that he cares about us. And Christmas tells us that God's purposes and plans for our lives will prevail.
All right, Chris, what is Louis Giglio saying there about Advent? Is he redefining the term?
Absolutely. He's redefining the term, this idea of expectation. Now, Adventus means arrival. That's a good way of putting it. But notice he's talking about expectation and what are you waiting for? He's not talking, you know, in the traditional sense, when we talk about the season of Advent. This is a penitential season. Repentance is a major theme. The gospel text, for instance, this Sunday, the gospel text is the text from the Gospel of Mark, opening chapter of John the Baptist. You know, the voice of one calling in the wilderness, to make straight paths for the Lord, and calling people to repent and to receive a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This, you know, Advent historically has been about reflecting on our sinful nature, you know, looking at the law and the mirror of the law and looking at my life and saying, yes, I'm not measuring up, but in anticipation for Christ's first advent, which is for the forgiveness of our sins, the solution to our sinful problem, which is Christ and Him crucified, and Him coming to us lowly, born in a manger, not coming in glory, but coming to serve and to help us. These are the major themes of Advent, whereas notice what Louis Giglio did there. He changes it from a penitential season to a season of hope, and a hope that ultimately is based upon the idea that God's purposes are going to prevail in our life. This is a very distinctly purpose-driven approach to Advent that redefines it from a penitential season to a hopeful expectation that God ultimately will, His purposes in our life will somehow prevail. My purpose will ultimately come about, whatever that is.
One of the things that disturbs me about this is that it's kind of like Christmas becomes a symbol of something else, namely something of something, whatever in my life, whatever you're waiting for in your life. Christmas doesn't become the thing. It becomes the symbol of the thing, and the thing is what's going on in my life.
That's exactly correct, and this goes with what we've been talking about on your program over the past few weeks, about this way in which the seeker-driven leaders, they engage in what I call narcissistic eisegesis, or narcegesis, where they're reading themselves into every biblical text. And so the terminus in the Christmas way of looking at things in Advent and Christmas in the seeker-driven world is not that for unto us a child is born, but the idea is that just like God's purposes prevailed and a child was born, so God's purposes are going to prevail in your life, and that joyous moment of your purpose being fulfilled or arriving or whatever is going to happen to you too. So then Jesus' life becomes the parable of your life, and your life becomes the reality. It's a very twisted, narcissistic, self-centered way of reading Scripture, and it's very seductive. But the problem is that when you read yourself into the Scripture this way, you are missing what the Scripture is really all about, and it's what Jesus has done for you, not some purpose that God's trying to accomplish in you.
Next, we're going to hear from megachurch pastor in South Carolina, Perry Noble. Who is he, and why are we going to hear him call Christmas the Super Bowl?
Perry Noble is the vision casting leader of New Spring Church in Anderson, South Carolina. They're a multi-site, you know, they have multi-site campi throughout the state of South Carolina, and he is again one of the major generals, major leaders in the seeker-driven movement. And there are many of seeker-driven pastor who attends his leadership conference every year, reads his books, and subscribes to his podcast to get insights on how to be a seeker-driven leader. And what we're going to be hearing from him today is from his leadership podcast, which goes out to seeker-driven leaders and pastors to kind of give them marching orders and tips and tricks on how to be an effective megachurch leader. So this is him talking about Christmas and his view of what Christmas is all about, and him being as pragmatic as he is, he talks about Christmas in a very crass way, that it's the Super Bowl, so we've got to capitalize on this because it's all about attracting a large crowd, and then once that crowd is there, keeping them. So this is him talking about that.
The topic is this: Christmas, it's coming.
Here comes.
You know, so here at New Spring, Perry, you know, we refer to Christmas and even Easter as the Super Bowl. And we know that a lot of people who don't normally come to church will actually come to church on those Sundays. And we want to make sure we do the best job possible of telling the story and hopefully connecting people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus and even the church. So with Christmas on the horizon, we wanted to offer some practical tips on how to help churches get ready for Christmas.
So what's going on there?
Well, the how to get ready for Christmas thing, this isn't talking about, you know, looking at the lectionary, looking at the gospel readings, and rightly handling God's word, or talking, giving you tips and strategies for necessarily how to decorate your congregation. No, this is more along the lines of business processes, things you need to consider from a marketing point of view to attract a large crowd, and then after the holiday has left, hook them in such a way that they keep coming back. So this is kind of this is business shop talk, if you would. And so I think it says a lot to hear them talk about the holiday in this way, because it lets you know just how market-driven and numbers-driven these men really are.
When we come back, we're going to hear some advice from Megachurch Pastor Perry Noble on how he thinks pastors and congregations ought to prepare for Christmas. It's just a big marketing opportunity. It doesn't really have that much to do with the fact that the Savior's born into the world to suffer and die for the sins of the world. It's just a big day where people happen to kind of wander into church. We'll talk more with Chris Roseboro this week in American Christianity after this. Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia. Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri. Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California. Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas. Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. And Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300.
They're saying you are not recognizing a reality. You are assigning a social construct to that child when you say, hey, it's a boy.
His humble yet kingly procession into the city soon turns into a condemned man's march to a hill of execution, but not before he wrestles away your tattered garment of your unrighteousness and then puts him on himself.
When death comes to us, when suffering, when doubts, when torments come to us, we look to Jesus, who is faithful and trustworthy.
The devil loves to cause us to think, well, you know, the Lord isn't good and that he won't take care of us. And it's simply not true.
That's what people think is happening with the manger. They think we can use a manger for a crib. Isn't that cute? No, it's not cute. That's part of his suffering.
Just a taste of the sound bites we're going to be playing for you in about 20 minutes here on Issues, Etc. When we play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week, we'll play those four sound bites, and then you need to be ready to call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page and vote for the soundbite you think should be Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We got five to play for you, and we will be giving away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote for Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. That's coming up live in about 20 minutes. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about some megachurch pastors calling for the observation of what they call Advent and Christmas. Chris Roseboro is our guest, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, what are we going to hear next from Perry Noble on getting ready for Christmas?
Well, he's going to give practical advice to seeker-driven leaders on how to prepare their churches for Christmas. And this is, you know, like the first thing out of his mouth is like a practical step. And I think it's important for us to hear it first, and then we'll react to it. But this is to prepare seeker-driven leaders to prepare their congregations for Christmas.
So with that being said, Perry, where is a good place for a church to get started in preparing for this most important Sunday?
I think, and this is once again, what we've learned over, you know, going on to 15 years now, is I believe the best place to prepare your church for Christmas services is the two or three Sundays before the Christmas service. Now, at the time of this podcast, if you're a pastor, you know, you're busy, you downloaded it or whatever, you might only have one Sunday. I would take that Sunday to do a message on why you should bring people to church for Christmas. The thing we've discovered is the hotter we can get the core about, and when I say core, your core people, that would be your staff, that'd be your, you know, volunteers. The more fired up you get them about something, the more you get them talking about it, tweeting about it, Instagramming about it, or whatever, the more you get them excited, the more likely they are to actually go out and invite people to church that don't know who Christ is, and they come back. And so the best place to start is getting your people excited, casting vision as to why Christmas is important and what you expect them to do. Bring a lost person, bring a family member or friend that does not know Christ or that is unchurched.
Yep, I love that. Set an expectation, then tell them what that really means.
Yes.
Get them excited about what we're excited about. And we have seen that work so well in the past.
Well, Chris, at least they mentioned Jesus once in there.
I want you to think through this with me, okay? They are literally, without any guilt, talking about the manufacturing of excitement. In other words, you know, you want to manipulate their emotions, people's emotions, so that they have a sense of excitement. And notice what they said here, create the expectation for what their actions should be. And so, and in order to do that, you're not going to open up Scripture on a Sunday and preach God's Word. You're not going to look at the lectionary and say, okay, this is Advent 3 and the assigned texts are this. No, that goes out the window. That's gone. What we're going to do on a Sunday is we're going to give a message about why you need to bring somebody to church on Christmas. So it's not just that it's the Super Bowl. They're on purpose, you know, basically messaging people, manufacturing a sense of urgency in them and creating a sense of excitement that's manufactured in order to, you know, get as many people to church as possible on Christmas. I mean, I couldn't think of a more cockeyed and skewed way of viewing the role and responsibilities of the pastoral office if I were to, you know, to sit down and try to come up with one myself. This is not the job of a pastor. The job of a pastor is to preach the word and administer the sacraments. This man thinks that his job is to manufacture emotions and create a sense of expected results from their people and use pulpit time to do that.
Christmas is the one time a year you have to go traditional. You can't go contemporary at Christmas. One year, I never will forget, we tried to go completely contemporary and not do anything traditional, and our people were pissed. They were like, this is not cool. That's not, you know, you took everything out of Christmas, and we're like, well, we're trying to be young and cool and hip, and they're like, you're not. So Christmas is the one time a year you have to go somewhat traditional.
I'm really stunned by the frank honesty of these guys. We're trying to be cool. We're trying to be hip. We're sorry we didn't go traditional that Sunday. We're really, really sorry. Oh, gosh.
You're right. I mean, the frankness from them, the thing is that the church has changed so dramatically over the past two decades and over the past decade itself that these guys can talk in such a way that, you know, they don't even realize how out of step they are with the historic Christian faith for them to talk this way. You know, well, we purposely intend to be hip and cool every Sunday, and so we just carried that on into Christmas, and everyone was upset because we learned the hard way. Again, notice who's in the driver's seat. Market forces are in the driver's seat. We got to do what the market wants. And, well, this is the one Sunday a year you got to be traditional. He's saying it in such a way like, you know, you put on your big boy pants, we're going to have to just suffer through it.
We're going to have to act like adults. One Sunday a year, just one Sunday a year, we're going to have to act like adults.
Right, exactly. It's stunning to hear them say it that way, but this is one of the reasons why we're doing these segments on your program every week.
Now, this highlights something really quickly before we get to the next one. This highlights something about the pure pragmatism here, that this tradition isn't valuable because it delivers the gospel or because it has spoken the clear word of Christ and him crucified to generation after generation for millennia. It's just valuable because that's what people think they want. Just like a girl wants to go to church for her wedding, these people want to be in a traditional church for Christmas.
Yeah, and this is kind of an important thing. They think traditional is a style, the way, like if you go on to iTunes Radio, you know, I love iTunes Radio. And so, you know, I look at different styles. So I've got the Baroque channel on certain times of the year. I like the Ella Fitzgerald channel. So these are all different styles of music. They think traditional is a style rather than a content. And what they don't understand is that traditional is the content delivered to us in the message. It's not a style. It's far deeper than that, but they don't see it that way.
I think on Christmas, it's a time to step do that thing, not for shock effect, but that surprising that will engage people, that will pull them in. Like one year we did the rock version of Carol the Bells, and it was just so cool. We've done Let It Snow and had a snow machine. And it's one year though, this is when we were portable. We rented a cheap snow machine and it sent down a blob on top of one of our singers' heads. And it was, we shouldn't have done that, but it's
live and learn.
Yeah. I think it's the Sunday where you show your people, hey, if you will invite people here, we will do whatever it takes to reach them and show them who Jesus is.
Yeah. That's great.
Okay, so the takeaway is when it comes to snow machines, you get what you pay for.
Yes, but notice here now they're talking about kind of like, you know, window dressing or theatrical, backdrops and things like that. You know, it's the production value of the show, per se. And supposedly, the way you show an unbeliever that Jesus cares for them is by spending a lot of money on a snow machine during your performance of Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. Like some unbeliever is going to, you know, come to church and sit there and go, man, I can't believe how much Jesus loves me because, man, look at how real that snow is during this performance. What these people are saying is so ridiculous. If you want an unbeliever to know how much Jesus loves them, tell them that Christ bled and died for them on the cross so that they don't have to face the wrath of God. That's how you let somebody who's an unbeliever know that Jesus loves them, not by somehow thinking that you're conveying love to an unbeliever because you paid top dollar for your snow machine during your Christmas production. I mean, these guys really think that the message is conveyed in their trickery or their theatrics and stuff like that, rather than in the actual message that Christ bled and died for them. It's unbelievable.
I mean, this is something, you know, the people who follow this in our own Lutheran circles and who read these books and who think that guys like Perry Noble and Louis Giglio hung the moon, they're not as honest as Perry Noble and Louis Giglio. Louis Giglio, they'll just come out and say, look, this is about putting the best show you can together. Our guys are still saying, no, it's about preaching the gospel, but they're still paying top dollar for their snow machines. Is it instructive to us to see that the gurus here are telling us in plain words how they really think people are both attracted and kept in church?
Yes, I think it's absolutely imperative that the everyday churchgoer, just ordinary layperson, hear from themselves from the sources that, you know, you're right, from people who they think, you know, have hung the moon, these secret-driven guys think these guys have hung the moon, and they'll defend them tooth and nail, just to hear how pragmatically and crassly they talk. And you know, when you hear them talk, you realize this has nothing to do with the message of Jesus Christ. This has everything to do with week in and week out putting on a show. These places are not churches. They're theaters and television studios, and what's taking place in them is a theatrical production, not a church service. And that, when you hear them talk like this, that becomes painfully clear.
Chris, what's on the docket tonight for Fighting for the Faith?
Well, tonight we're going to be listening to a pre-Christmas sermon from Troy Gramling, where he engages in something I call psycho-Jesus. This is psychologically reading yourself into a biblical text, as he tries to describe what he considers the nightmares before Christmas, you know, the psychological downs and lows that people go through. And apparently there was somebody in the Bible who also had a difficult time right before Christmas, and he's going to give us the information regarding that in his sermon.
So you can listen to Fighting for the Faith in about a half hour right after the live broadcast of Issues, Etc. at PirateChristianRadio.com. It's PirateChristianRadio.com. Chris Rosebro is a regular guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much, and we'll talk with you next week.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you, our listeners, playing that little game that we like to play here, a little radio game called Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Get ready to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us that email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or go to our Facebook fan page and get ready to vote for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us, and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the Office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net, because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Holy Cross Evangelical Lutheran Church, Albany, Oregon, is a mid-Willamette Valley LCMS congregation where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one, with sound biblical doctrine, weekly communion, and a clear confession of Christ crucified for the sin of the world. Please join us at 2515 Queen Avenue Southeast, or visit our website at www.holycrosslutheranalbany.org.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit WittenbergAcademy.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.